Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
To the voice of the American Redoubt. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. I am John Jacob Schmidt, your host, and my name is your name too. If you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, thank you guys for tuning in to the voice of the American Redoubt, which is covering, well, right now on the terrestrial stations, 96.5 FM out of Spokane and AM 630. Reaching the greater Spokane, Washington area and into North Idaho and Coeur d'Alene. Thank you guys all for tuning in, and especially those who we will not forget outside the wire in the occupied zones tuned in on the live streaming audio player. Thank you guys also for being out there and for your prayers and your support. I hope you guys had a blessed week. Lots of stuff going down here in the last 24 to 48 hours. And we're going to talk a little bit about that and what it might mean to you. And you're probably going to have a little bit of deja vu from what I covered last week, because it's still applicable. So we're going to get into that, current events and what it means to you here at Radio Free Redoubt. This is your 30-minute blast, covering the headlines, making sense of the confusing, swirling, competing, and conflicting ideologies, doctrines. We're going to shine the truth on the lies. And we're going to hold fast to our heritage and our traditional American values as we go. And here's one thing that's really important for you guys to keep in mind. You are not alone. You're not in the minority. You're part of the silent majority, but they want you to feel alone. It's not true. You are the remnant, and there are actually many more just like you out there. So, where do we begin? Let's start here. About 24 hours, well, about 48 hours ago now, 60 cruise missiles were fired into Syria. In response to Assad's air force, apparently, reportedly, dropping chemical munitions, resulting in approximately 180 to 100 deaths from what appears to be sarin nerve agent. This is illegal. It is banned. And this was used on civilians. Now, on the other side of things, this is where the information starts really swirling. The spin on the other side is that these were conventional munitions targeting rebels, and a chemical munitions storage depot was hit. I don't know what you want to believe. And of course, when it comes to world news, you pretty much can't believe anything you hear at face value. So Trump, after watching videos of children being killed by sarin gas, was so moved he decided to deploy military assets and prosecute a campaign to target the airfield where these airstrikes supposedly originated from. There are also reports from a Fox News analyst, I'm trying to get some confirmation on this, who's saying that there was real-time intelligence. I got a text last night, or the night before last, that there was real-time intelligence that the Russians were present and were fully aware while the Syrians were loading chemical munitions. So is this a bad thing if that was intentional? Of course it is. It's also a bad thing to kill 200 million people which we've had full knowledge of, 200,000 people, civilians, men, women, and children. So are we sending the message that it's okay to kill 200,000 people as long as you only use conventional weapons? But if you kill 80 people with nerve agent, well, we're going to start bombing you. And now I have to say, proportionate response. They didn't just annihilate the country or a town. They specifically targeted an airfield. And I'm looking at the before and after pictures that are circulating of this airfield. I don't see 60 cruise missiles. If that's all we got, you know, the bang we got for our buck, I'm a little disappointed. There are munitions that are specifically designed to render an airfield inoperable, including the runways. But it doesn't appear that the damage is just on some hangars and some aircraft. But in response, there's some people that aren't very happy about it. American right-wing commentator Ann Coulter, who campaigned for Donald Trump, wrote, "Those who wanted us meddling in the Middle East voted for other candidates." And another one, Aaron Banks, commentator, says Trump campaigned on not getting involved in the Middle East. He said it always helps our enemies and creates more refugees. Then he saw a picture on TV. And another thing here, the unintended consequences of this, apparently from Max Sukoff, a journalist covering Middle East issues, said ISIS reportedly attacked the Syrian base right after the U.S. carried out missile strikes on it. So basically using the U.S. Military for softening up targets for ISIS to attack. They wasted no time. Again, I'm trying to get some confirmation on this. But regardless of how you feel about this, well, actually, let me back up. You have to ask yourself, does this serve a national interest, national security purpose? And another thing, one of the reasons why we backed off a few years ago from dealing with Syria is that Russia intervened, basically put Obama in a checkmate and said, we are here on the ground now and we will facilitate the removal of these chemical weapons. So it seems that the Russians are failing in that primary mission for them to be there is to facilitate the removal and destruction or removal of chemical weapons, which they're still there. And here's something else, some red flags that went up for me when I first heard the story. If you guys remember about, I think it was a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, I got to go back and pull it up. But remember that the artillery strike with chemical nerve agents, sarin gas, was released in a neighborhood, fired upon a neighborhood, supposedly engaging rebels, where men, women, and children were injured and killed, and there was sarin gas. And the whole world said, we have to go after Assad now because he's using chemical weapons. But the UN delegation or UN workers on the ground, including non-UN civilians, said, we were there. This was clearly, we saw where it was being fired from. It was rebels who fired this. Rebels, of course, which we have backed and supported. And then all that testimony and the people who were on the ground that said it was not Syrian government forces that fired that artillery with chemical weapons. It was rebels. Those people are gone. They just quiet, just like it never happened, disappeared. So when I hear Syrian, it makes no sense. Even for a dictator or madman in this political environment with all eyes on him, with the whole world itching for a reason to drop the hammer on Assad, why he would use chemical weapons. It defies logic. It's so convenient. And the other thing that's convenient is that this all went down on the same day that President 11, a Roman numeral 11, I looked at that, President Xi from China, XI, that's Roman numeral 11, I just call him President 11 from China, shows up. Now, what does have more long-term strategic significance to the United States? What's happening in Syria and what Assad's doing, or China? And I've learned that whenever you see the left hand waving wildly in the air, look to see what the right hand's doing. The president of China shows up in the United States and all of a sudden all eyes are diverted to Syria for 80 people that were killed. And it's an atrocity, no doubt. But no more of an atrocity than 200,000 people being killed. And we've seen the pictures of those children, the burn victims from bombings, from fires, the dismemberment, all of that. We've seen all of that. But chemical weapons, now we're escalating things. And now Russia is warning the United States to stop its aggression. They're now moving a frigate into the Mediterranean in the same area, the same waters that the U.S. destroyer fired the cruise missiles from. And Russia now is helping the Syrians to increase their air defenses. This is a proxy war between the United States and Russia now. Well, this is the next step in that. So why is this important to us? Well, as Christians, we should be paying close attention to prophecy. And Damascus is in prophecy. In Isaiah 17, Damascus will be made a heap of ruin forever, and the surrounding area. Uninhabitable, this basically sounds like it's going to get nuked at some point. Now there's arguments among all of the biblical scholars who are saying this actually already happened, 1,700 years ago. Others are saying, oh, no, this is still to come, because the Greek version says forever, Damascus forever will be destroyed. Well, the Hebrew version doesn't say forever. So you get into these battles, the analysis of the Hebrew language, the little swirly gig, whatever they put on, could mean one of two things. And it could mean into the ages or forever. But it doesn't matter. So the point is, God is in control and we're going to see how it all plays out. But we do know there will be a major conflagration in the Middle East involving and surrounding Israel. And all of the stuff building up toward this is taking us that much closer to that. And how that could affect us, patriots, Americans, Christians, is that this could drag us into a conflict of just huge proportions, because we're dealing with nuclear power superpowers. Last week we talked about North Korea and China. Basically, North Korea is being China's redheaded stepchild that it wants to protect, and Syria is the same for Russia, and they want to protect. And we're rattling sabers with both. Somebody somewhere is going to blink at some point. And they're training continuously to attack the United States and building nuclear exchanges into their war modeling. And especially preemptive strikes. So things could get really crazy. These are really wild, volatile times. And we can't affect, most of us anyway, have little to no effect on geopolitics, the big picture stuff. What do we have control over? Ourselves and our local communities. Those small spheres of influence in our counties and even our states. So last week I covered North Korea. This time I'm talking about Russia now building up the defenses in Syria, warning the United States to stop its aggression. And things are escalating there. This is all happening at the same time when President Trump is calling for the United States Embassy to be moved to Jerusalem to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, as it really should be. But you want to talk about throwing gasoline on a fire. It's all coming, and it has to come. Exactly how that's going to unfold will be revealed in time. But that time's getting short, I think. So that will affect the economies. That will affect communications. That will affect transportation. It will affect so many things on such a profound level, socially, economically, politically. There's going to be, and if no, the Americans will not be able to continue to be immune from the effects of this, like so many other people around the world who are feeling it. They're feeling persecution. They're feeling these, they're feeling it, the effects. And that very likely is coming to the United States and the citizens in the United States. So, locally begins with you and your family. As God-fearing patriots, prepare your family, prepare your community and those around you, in your church if they'll listen, in your community if they have the will and the foresight. I'm going to read a letter to you and my response when we come back. Stay right there. This is the voice of the American Redoubt.
Page, and you're tuned into Radio Free Readout.
I've often heard atheists and so-called progressives argue that the founders weren't Christians and that this was never a Christian nation. They like to say that men like Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson were deists. Well, so what if they were deists? Being a deist simply means that God doesn't interfere with the affairs of men. But after seeing God's hand in the making of their newly won nation, they gave God full credit. In a letter to William Strahan in 1784, Benjamin Franklin said this, "My dear friend, do not imagine that I am vain enough to ascribe our success," he was speaking about the Revolution, "to any superiority on their part. If it had not been for the justice of our cause and the consequent interposition of Providence in which we had faith, we must have been ruined. If I had ever before been an atheist, I should now have been convinced of the being and government of a deity." And Thomas Jefferson wrote this, "Of all the systems of morality, ancient or modern, which have come under my observation, none appears to me so pure as that of Jesus. I am a real Christian, that is to say, a disciple of the doctrines of Jesus." Don't believe the lies of the revisionist historians. They'll deceive you every time if you don't know the truth. I'm Violet Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
Radio Free Readout.
Welcome back to the Voice of the American Redoubt. This is segment two, brought to you by Riverfront Suites. Go to riverfrontsuites.com if you need a place to get away. Come to beautiful St. Mary's, Idaho. The Riverfront Suites in St. Mary's, Idaho are the hideaway that you're looking for. 7 fully furnished suites less than 50 yards from the river dock. Go to riverfrontsuites.com today. All right. Now, in the last 5 minutes or so, I'm going to blast through this because I got a letter this week and I wanted to respond to it because this comes up a lot. And I do respond to this. Same question, different person, periodically, probably at least a couple, 2 or 3 times a year. So let's talk about this. Here's the letter. "Hey, JJS, do you have any resources you can point me to on how to talk about preparedness with my wife? Long story short, she was on board with it, and then recently we have left the Mormon church, and she is no longer on board as the Mormons pushed food storage and end times. She now sees all my readiness as fear of the end of the world. Thanks for your thoughts. Okay. Yes, resources, Radio Free Redoubt. Just go to radiofreeredoubt.com, type in keywords like not out of fear or fear and prepping. And, you know, I've covered this in the past, but I am working on something that's going to kind of compile all these different resources that I've used and talked about. Glenn Tate's books, 299 Days, also covers this. The main character's wife was a doctor, and she was actually hostile toward the main character when prepping came up. You know, I refuse to live in fear. Prepping is a demonstration of a lack of faith that the Lord will provide for us. We've heard this before. But let me ask you this. Do you see danger coming today in the world? All right, preparing for danger or a crisis is scripturally correct and approved by God. Fear is not. How in the heck did fear come into this anyway? Who said anything about fear? I mean, who has gone to their wife and said, "Honey, I'm so afraid. Let's start prepping for doomsday." No, that's not what happens. I was doing a speaking engagement one time, and this came up, and I said, "You want to know what women want? I'll tell you what women want." Well, there's one woman in the front. She sat back and crossed her arms and said, "Oh, this will be good." I said, "Women want security. They want physically to feel secure, financially secure, emotionally secure. They want to feel safe." When you're talking about doomsday, it's how you're presenting it is going to unsettle that feeling of safety that women want. Well, the woman sitting in the front row, she relaxed. I don't know what she thought I was going to say, but she said afterward, you're right, actually. But let's go to the scriptures. Proverbs 27:12 says, "A prudent person foresees the danger ahead and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences." That's one version. Genesis, when Noah is told, "You take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away for food for you and for them," talking about the animals. In Genesis 41:1-32, Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream and no one can interpret it, but I have heard it all said that," you know, when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. And that was Joseph's interpretation of the dream, that there will be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And the Pharaoh put Joseph, a godly man, in charge of storing up for that 7 years of famine. There's tons of examples. Proverbs 6 says, "Take a lesson from the ant, you sluggard. Learn from the ways and become wise. Though they have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work or tell them what to do, they labor hard all summer gathering the food for the winter." Proverbs 21 says, "The wise store up choice food and olive oil, but fools gulp theirs down." We see fools gulping down their wealth right now, not storing anything up for the future. And 1 Timothy 5:8 says, "If anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Here's a message to the women out there that fit into this category. Your husband has a responsibility, a duty, to use his God-given wisdom and discernment to make a judgment on the circumstances and the situation in the world and determine what types of threats might exist to his family. And he has a duty to take appropriate action. He is negligent if he does not. And sometimes, hey, I'm a single mom. I don't have a man. Well, then you have to step into that role. It doesn't mean you stop trusting in the Lord. You give thanks to the Lord for giving you the foresight to warn you ahead of time. We have history on our side to know what's coming when economies fail, when societies fail, when the political systems fail. And we also have history on our side saying that's coming. Now, sometimes women have a husband who's a sluggard or being busy, entertained, golfing and sports and hanging out with the guys, and he's totally checked out. Woman, you're crazy. you and your doomsday stuff. And he laughs and mocks and he goes on about entertaining himself. Well, there's something to be said in Proverbs. The Proverbs 31 woman who cares for her family. Read that. Proverbs 31. And see if there isn't something scriptural about a woman who takes care of her family. Food, clothing. Now, men, the dangers posed to our country and our families are real. If you've prayerfully considered it and you believe there's a real crisis coming, you have a duty, regardless of whether your wife approves of it or not, but you have to be balanced. Do not become consumed with prepping. But one of the biggest cop-outs is, well, we have to live now. We can't stop living. You can stop, or you can't, well, how do I put this? You can stop living because you become so consumed with your newfound hobby, prepping. Don't do that. But usually the person that says, we have to keep living, doesn't do anything toward being prepared for a catastrophic event, whether spiritually, logistically, or mentally, or educationally, or any other area. Simply put, it's just not something they're interested in doing with their lives. This is a ministry opportunity, like I covered last week. If you're going to use scripture to make the argument that, oh, we have to trust in the Lord, are you also applying the scripture that you have to be ready to share the gospel? And what a ministry opportunity that would be if people's lives are turned upside down because America's facing judgment and is attacked by enemies all around the world that are preparing for it right now. They war game for it. People quoting biblical principles about how fearful it is to prepare are often using it as a scapegoat to do nothing because doing something requires effort. All right, you guys have a blessed rest of the weekend. We'll talk to you tomorrow night at 8 p.m. for our weekly podcast at www.radiofreeredoubt.com. God bless.